Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang podcast for Saturday, June 27th, 2010. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Graham Thickens.
Hey, good morning, and well, I'm back in Minnesota.
Excellent. I think. Excellent. And Phil Wilson.
Good morning, and I'm guessing that music will make a whole lot more sense a little later.
Yes, it will. We'll have music on after. Tim, we're actually waiting for Tim, but there were storms, so he might not have any power at home. And so we'll see if he can he can make the show. But, you know, I just have to start off before we launch into anything here about what the hell is going on in this market this summer. All of a sudden, it's as though there's been this explosion of people talking about innovation. About, I know me personally, I've gotten tons of meetings set up with people that are exploring new businesses and new opportunities and new ideas. There's, you know, the events seem to be much more well attended. Are you guys seeing that same sort of thing? Are you, Graham, in this market?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of things going on, a lot of events. I mean, more than even I can attend, and I'm an event, you know, maniac. So if it gets to be too much for me, I figure, man, there's just a whole plethora of things going on out there. And it's, you know, good pickings for anybody that wants to, hear more about what's going on in the way of innovation and internet and startups in Minnesota.
Yep. I don't know. I've been in this space less than you guys have, you know, a shorter amount of time. I started getting involved in this. Well, it's Steve's fault back in what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, probably 2007.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't necessarily know if there's more going on. I just think that we're more aware of it and there's more attention being paid to it. Whether that was because of a slow news day some 6 months back or whatever it was, but I think that there's always been a lot of activity. And I think it's probably just getting a little bit more noticed.
Well, yeah.
And especially this last week. I mean, we had Minnesota Cup, yeah. We had a summit, we had all sorts of stuff going on. So,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think there are some new organizations that have come on stream though, pretty heavily in the last 6 months or a year.
Sure. Sure.
And that didn't exist a while back. I mean, we've still got our established organizations that have been around for, you know, decades or more, like the Collaborative and the Minnesota High Tech Association. But, you know, I think the Web 2.0 era brought on a lot more opportunities to have, you know, SMB, you know, social media breakfast being a prime example. And, you know, I mean, anybody can set up a meetup and start a group on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever and start holding gatherings and, you know, the famed unconferences, one of which we're going to be talking about today, which I missed. But you know, all of this is a relatively new phenomenon in the last 2 to 3 years, you know, with all those kinds of, you know, meetups and gatherings and what I call non-membership groups. In other words, anybody can join, anybody can participate, no money has to change hands, you know. And then on top of that, we get all these good conferences that keep coming that do charge money, you know, things like the Collaborative has always done and innumerable other groups locally. So
do you think it has to do more with the fact that more of us are connected and more of us have the ability to tap into that stuff?
Oh, sure. Find calendars. I think web, all the social networking is just bringing people together to be aware of all these things going on.
Yeah.
And so there's more awareness and there's more groups, you know, free and otherwise. And, you know, it's, you know, I just came from Silicon Valley, so I missed all this week's events in Minneapolis. But, you know, it's getting to be more like the Valley here, I think. I was talking about that when I was out there. I mean, I'd go crazy out there. There's so many great things going on every day.
Yeah,
I'd absolutely never get anything done, you know. And I was talking to one VC, and he says, yeah, you really have to pick your, you know, your events carefully, because I mean, they are literally going on in multiple locations at concurrently at any given time.
Yep.
And it's a challenge, you know, it's a time management challenge. I always thought it was, it's probably better that I live here than out there. I'd go crazy, but I'm starting to go crazy here too, because there's so many places I want to be, but I can't, you know?
Well, and that's like looking at the social media breakfast at Target Center, which we should probably talk about. But, that was one where I literally had to make a decision on, like, I could have maybe gone for an hour or so, but I had a client adventure that day, and so I had to make a decision: do I go for a little bit or not at all? And I decided not to, because I needed the time. But to your point, Graham, about making decisions on what to go to, SMB, for instance, that takes a little more than half the day.
Yeah, with travel for sure.
Right, and it's You know, I'm starting to, because I'm going to so many of these different things, I'm starting to say, what's the payoff?
Right. Absolutely. Me too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're on the prowl for a new gig, yeah, it's great to be out, you know, pressing the flesh and schmoozing. But when all of a sudden the gigs start lining up, you know, I start looking at my calendar going, you know what? I'm not going to be able to take out a half day to go to that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm cranking on a PR pitch for somebody or something. And it's like my focus has to be on that as much as I'd like to see my friends. Yep. You know,
well, I think that's okay. I mean, I think that there's nothing wrong with that. That's why these groups are put together, is to cater to people that are actively involved in the business. And, you know, you've got to do the business. I try to make those meetings whenever I can, from simply a social standpoint, whether, you know, because this is can be a very isolating world, sitting in front of a computer or sitting in front of, you know, the microphone, or it can be very isolating. And I think it's important to get out and talk to, you know, real human beings and find out what's going on.
I totally agree. You know, sitting at home,
but you just can't do it, for gosh sakes. There's just no way.
Yeah, but it is. It's really limiting to be sitting at home in front of a computer all day long, or in a cubicle. And so, yeah, I think there's nothing beats getting out and mixing it up with real people. And it's just a good break for your, you know, well-being. Get away from the computer, you know.
Well, it's even good when you have people like Phil who hate people to be able to mix around and, yeah.
Pain in my butt. That's not true. You know that.
I'm just teasing you.
It's you know, it is. I tend to be a very social guy, and yeah, the sitting in front of the sitting at the desk, a desk job has never been my favorite pastime. But you know, there is some great stuff going on, and I, you know, what I find interesting, and this may segue into us just chatting a little bit about Unsummit yesterday, was you know, the need to have a meeting to talk about it. We seem to be doing that a lot lately. You know, at Mini Bar, what was the title of that particular session? Is how can we be better, or something like that?
How can Minnesota be better?
Yesterday at Unsummit, it was, I don't even remember the name of the session that you went to, Steve.
Yeah, that Don Ball ran. It was about are we destined to become the administrative state, or the state, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Instead of being innovative, we'd be administrative. Right. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. Well, Mojo was formed to help move forward on that. We talk about it on a regular basis at Minnovate, and we're not the only ones, but I do find it interesting that we feel we need to talk about it quite a bit rather than just do it.
Well, but you know,
yeah, I do too. It gets tiresome to me. It really does.
But here's the one thing about that though, that I guess I'm a little adamant about, because I really went off on this when we were in that session with Don.
I can't imagine you.
Yeah. Me.
You're
usually
so quiet.
I know. I have a hard time talking, but, there seems to be a lot of focus in a lot of these sessions that I go to about the how rather than the what. And here's where I'm going to go with that. So back, you know, in the late 80s, when desktop publishing started to hit, and I had a Mac SE 30 and a LaserWriter, it was so clear to me that that this was going to be a paradigm shift, and not just me, but, you know, like most of the planet. But I saw it as an opportunity. And we started our newsletter, and it's just now 23 years old as one small part of all the products that are offered. And over and over and over again, entrepreneurs that see possibility and see opportunity and have the data to say, that's where the hole is. That's, I'm going to go run through that, you know, to use a football metaphor. And so I was kind of adamant about, hey, let's talk about the what. Let's bring in people that, you know, from the U of M at some event that can talk about, well, here's what's happening culturally, and here's what's happening demographically, and bring in somebody from the digital side at the U of M to computer science to talk about, you know, here's what's happening in bandwidth, here's, and inform people about what's going on, about the what, so that we can, so we can go after it. But one more quick thing. It's the same thing, like with talking to Zach Olson at the new Apple store in Uptown when I got a tour.
Is that open now?
Oh God, it's Graham. You got to go see this store.
Easy. Oh, I hear it's really going to be easy.
Easy. It's stunning. It's not Mecca. It's just another store. It's not Mecca.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's
Phil.
A religious experience.
Cupertino is Mecca.
Yes. Anyway, so we were talking about this, and I said, you know what I think would be, because he asked me what I thought would be hot events. And I said, the hottest event right now in this market would be
anything that
publishing.
Steve Borges at.
Yeah, right. Is publishing to the iPad.
Yeah.
So how do you do eDoc, EPUB, or how do you do PDF delivery in iBook that actually works and is interactive?
All right. It just seems strange to me. Okay, I know this is kind of off on another plane, but here we are talking about dedicating resources to publishing to the iPad when the Gulf of Mexico is now 50% oil. What is that really the most important thing that's really we should dedicate innovation to?
I can't do anything about the oil in the Gulf. I can,
that's
however, publish to the iPad.
That's not true. You could probably come up with something. I mean, if Kevin Costner can come up with something, Steve.
Yeah, I don't have his millions to invest, though. Yeah, but anyway, my point is it's all about seeing where the opportunity is and saying, hey, I can go do that. I can go figure that out. And there's not enough of that. There's not enough of, you know, here's kind of where the trends are. Here's where the future is, because that then people can say, oh, you know, using the Wayne Gretzky metaphor of skating to where the puck is rather than where the puck will be rather than where it is. If you know if you have a pretty good sense of where the puck's going to go, or you can say, I'm going to make sure it goes there, then you can get there before anyone else. And that's in a lot of ways, that's the nature of innovation, or doing something completely different that's already being done and doing it with high design and so on. But there's not enough of that kind of focus, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, Grant.
I was going to say that's the difference. One of many differences between here and the Valley. I think that goes on out in the Valley in droves, you know, I mean, in spades or whatever. You know, you're talking about the trends and the opportunities and where technology is going, and you're not so much talking about, you know, how can we, why don't we have more funding for our ideas and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you find the right ideas, you know, and then the right needs, the right market opportunities, the funding will take care of itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's an excellent point.
Well,
I'm glad you brought it up at the UN Summit, even though I couldn't be there.
Well, and yesterday it was interesting. There was a, and I'll try to find this post, but it was about a guy that was talking about Windows 7 and the adoption, that there's been 150 million copies of Windows 7. And to put things into perspective, you know, there's been 3 million iPads sold, for instance. Mm-hmm. But is there a lot of buzz and a lot of discussion about Windows 7? No. And then you look at the sales, potential sales of iPad, 7.1 million is the projection for 2010. And then you look at the projection for PCs sold globally, it's 320 million. Well, okay. There's still a lot of opportunity there. And those are the sorts of things too, that people need to understand, you know, where the market is. And so, you know, are there opportunities to do something, you know, better, cheaper, faster on the Windows side? I mean, I'm just, you know, thinking out loud here, but you know, it's that sort of thing to understand where things are headed and what the reality is.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, to bring this back around local. Steve, the one thing that you mentioned is, you know, bring somebody in from the university. Have you noticed that the U is conspicuously absent at most of these things?
Yep.
Yep.
I never see a representative from the U at any of these events. Now, granted, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to all of them, but I think of, and maybe Steve, maybe there was somebody at Mojo, well, and I just didn't see them.
Justin Porter.
Okay.
We got to give props to Justin Porter because he is out there like crazy. And, you know, he's part of that venture group that is looking at, you know, the Gary Smabe's involved in at the Carlson School.
Well, it just seems like there's never any voice from the college sector that comes up and says,
agree.
You know, here in academia, this is what we're noticing. Now, I never hear that.
There's surely not enough of it. They are involved, particularly Carlson. And by the way, I don't think Gary Smabe's with Carlson anymore. I think he's on the East Bank now.
Okay.
But I was going to say they are involved. Carlson certainly is in Minnesota Cup. We see them at some things, but I would agree that they're not as involved as they should be. No question.
Well, and I think it's stuff like, you know, Clay Shirky, who's a professor who's written all the great books on crowdsourcing and so on, gives great presentations, has really sparked the thought, why don't we have access to cultural anthropologists or sociologists or even historians at the U who are looking at the shift that we're undergoing right now? Because Don Ball's partner at COCO MSP, he and I met yesterday and talked, and his name is totally gone out of my head. My briefcase is in the other room, but
he's a good guy. I forget his name.
Entrepreneur, and one of the things that we talked about was how similar it is today to what it must have been like to live in an agrarian economy that was shifting to an industrial economy.
Yeah.
And people were moving off the farm into urban areas and trying to find jobs and going into working in factories. And I mean, just imagine the disruption. You know, you're living in the wide open spaces and the sun's out and the birds are chirping. And all of a sudden you're standing next to, you know, some smelly cigar smoking guy, you know, building some machinery in a factory, and it's all dark and dank. And, you know, what that must have been like to make that shift, not only culturally but economically. And we're living in the same thing right now, and you know, in terms of moving toward virtualization, moving toward free agency, moving toward you know, companies that are organized across geographic boundaries with people living everywhere, there's not enough discussion about that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Because out of that comes great opportunity and opportunities for innovation if you know what the facts are and what the strong trends are. And that's what I'm looking to the U for, is teach us, tell us, as innovators and entrepreneurs, what's going on.
Listen, before we go any further, it's Kyle Cooper over at COCO, by the way. And I'm sorry, I was muted there because there was mowing going on outside my window. Wasn't able to hop right in there.
No worries. COCO. No worries.
Let's talk a little bit more about Unsummit,
and
let's kind of do a little review of some of the sessions or some of the things that have gone on the last week. What was your takeaway, Steve?
My takeaway was that there is once again a tremendous amount of hunger for what's happening, not just in social media, but the usage of it, and other technologies. You know, ways to deliver your value proposition in a better way and so on. And it was much different, I thought, than an SMB social media breakfast, because people were really seeking solutions and ideas around how to implement And I thought that was a much different vibe. And most of the people that were there were really seeking to find a better way to do things in a lot of ways. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Are you speaking from a business standpoint for their own business or their own startup?
Their own business, their own startup themselves, their clients. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were aligning or partnering with agencies. I met several people, about half a dozen people that actually have their own consultancies, but then align with agencies and help them.
What I hear you saying, and I wasn't there, but I'm glad to hear this, and I understand what you're saying, is it's people have more of a marketing focus at that event. And I think, you know, I really think we are in the age of marketing. And I just read a tremendous piece this morning that kind of brought it home for me. And when you bring up the iPad and Apple and, you know, with respect to Microsoft, I also think of marketing. I think we're in a marketing age now. We may be entering a new age where, you know, where it just becomes so much more critical. And I read a great piece this morning that I'm about to send you guys. Click right now. There it goes. And it was about Google and how they lack marketing expertise. And I have been looking at this and thinking about this for a long time. And it's called, the title is Google Dislikes Marketing and PR, which is why its new services fail. Well, and let me tell you who it's by first. It's by a longtime Silicon Valley journalist, highly respected guy by the name of Tom Ferremsky. And he has a blog called Silicon Valley Watcher. You've probably seen it.
Sure, I know who this guy is. Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, of course they fail, because they're a company built on engineers.
Right.
You know it. I mean, they always hire engineers. And I think the sellers that they hire know selling, but there's nothing in between.
Right.
And there's nothing in between.
My friends and I have talked about their lack of right brain for a long time, but this guy really brings it home, because he talks about it from the standpoint of, he gets barraged by marketing PR people all day long out there. But he said, it's amazing how little, or he almost implies like nothing, comes from Google, you know. And it's like, and so he's asking, you know, what's wrong with this picture, you know, and
Graham, this is so interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm just scrolling through this, and you know what?
The comments are great too. You know, he's got tons of comments on it.
Well, here's what's so fascinating about this is that when they came out with Google Sites, mm-hmm. And I looked at the themes, I did a personal post about this and said, oh my God, my grandma could make better websites than this. It was just, but the whole post was about the fact that Google has zero design sense. And I actually, to your no right brain thing, I actually honestly believed that the yin and yang of Google and Apple, that Google would be Apple's left brain and Apple would be Google's right. Because I mean, Apple does not have.
That's exactly a great way to describe it.
Because Apple doesn't have the same depth of systemic understanding from an internet perspective that Google does, and Google can't. You know, I mean, they can't design anything. You know, I mean, I understand the whole minimalism approach, but I take a look at different user interfaces that I've used in the past that were really super lightweight. And then I look at Gmail and say, they could easily do a super lightweight and extraordinarily attractive set of UIs for Gmail. And yet they just, you know, it's all about minimalism and it's all about function over form.
So some of the other sessions at Unsummit.
Okay. Go ahead, Phil. Global. Really, Phil, go ahead. Really.
We can't go through them all, can we? No, but you know, it's funny you bring up Gmail. I read a great piece about the new Hotmail that sounds really nice, and I'm dying to get back in there and reactivate my account, because it sounds like it's much more UI friendly and user friendly than Gmail. Hmm.
So another good session at Unsummit yesterday was
okay.
Try to keep you people.
Go ahead, Phil. Really, go ahead. Really.
Hey, we were going on a marketing thing there, you know.
You got into Gmail and Google. Yeah. And
design UI.
Yeah. Paul, not too long ago.
But there are a lot of those kind of people at OnSummit. The way I understand that group, it sounds like it's a good group of folks that do have a marketing and UI and design sense. That's always good.
Yep. Yep. Well, the selling social media to executives. Andrew Eklund did a combined session with Megan Sewell, and they were kind of going back and forth, egging each other on, which was kind of fun.
Andrew's great.
Yeah. But what I thought was interesting about that is, remember that post that we did on why executives don't get social media and because of the way that they're wired and so forth. And that was like the number one post for months.
Yes.
In terms of page views on Minovate. But that was a really interesting session because it was all about how to, not just focus on ROI, but focus on kind of the meaning and the 360 degree reason view you should have of the use of social media in an organization and why it's of benefit and so on.
You know, I think the one thing that I tweeted yesterday, I think it was probably the only tweet I had for OnSummit other than maybe my Foursquare check-in was Andrew's quote of, you know, companies that don't operate in a culture of trust don't do well in social media.
Boy, is that, yeah, that's right
one.
On.
That's a good one.
I mean, it's truly, it is so true. And that means that we are so limited as marketers. We are limited in what we can do in the social media space because of culture of corporate America, because it's going to be easier. It's not going to be easy to change the culture of corporate America. It's just not going to be that most corporations do not operate in a culture of trust and when social media is really all about trust. So there's going to be that conflict for a long, long time.
Well, but as social media professionals and employees or consultants, my advice would be is don't work for a company or a client you don't trust or that you don't think operates on trust. You know what I mean? It's kind of self-selecting, and social media is all about sharing, and that's all about trust. And you know, I mean, I think there are many great companies out there that are doing well with social media that do have a culture of trust. And so, you know, and the rest of them, you know, they'll suffer because they don't have that kind of a trust environment, I think. And I think that's becoming apparent, you know, that there are the haves and have nots in corporate America when it comes to social media. You know, great companies like Ford that saw the opportunity and ran with it and have really, really benefited from it, and innumerable others too. So, I like to think that the environments, the corporate environments that aren't built on trust are suffering now, or they're seeing what good things can come out of this and maybe getting their acts together or changing their, you know.
Well, I think that great example of that is, you know, the very company you mentioned, Ford. I mean, for years and years and years, would you consider Ford a company that operated in a culture of trust?
Well,
I wouldn't think so. I don't think so. I mean,
I bought their cars.
Yeah, but the quality, but no, within the company, I mean, the quality of their product suffered greatly. And it basically because they weren't necessarily, and this was not just Ford. I think Ford is the leader here. In fact, they recognized that, you know, they were putting out an inferior product and not necessarily owning up to it. And I think
how far back are you going to, like, the Model T or where? I think their products have been pretty good. You know, I've owned a bunch of them. And
oh, yeah. Well, you know, you could say that, but you could also point to the fact that Detroit itself is failing. And
the precipitous
failing of Detroit was based on
General Motors is the bad guys. Ford's the good guys, you know.
Well, what I'm saying is that the entire American car industry suffered because they were putting out inferior products compared to what was coming in overseas.
Well, yeah, back in the
90s. I think Ford realized, hey, wait a minute, we've got to build up the trust here. Mm-hmm. And I think that their culture had to change. I know their culture changed.
Well, it did when the new guy came in. I mean, when the new CEO came in, he definitely made a lot of changes. Mulcahy from Boeing, when he came over from Boeing.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that ran with social media and, you know, gave Scott Monty his chops, you know. And
well, can I give just a little bit of an alternative perspective to that, Phil? Because the and I maybe have told this story before, but my wife, who was a buyer at Target, we were in the Southdale store and ran into Ron Johnson, who's the SVP for the Apple stores at Apple. And former Target guy. Absolutely. And they weren't like best friends or anything, but they knew each other. And we got to chatting about a bunch of different stuff. And one of the things he was asking me questions about what Apple is doing and what they're not doing to address the needs of quote unquote power users. And we got into this discussion about this, and I brought up the fact that Apple doesn't know who I am and you guys don't leverage a CRM system, but also that there really isn't a way to engage with Apple from a social media perspective. And we kind of got into that topic, and he looked down and kind of smiled and said, "We can't because it doesn't scale." I said, what do you mean by that? And we got into this discussion about how Apple has so many rabid fans. And if you get into a conversation with someone, you're opening the door to a conversation that will never end. And you'll build a relationship, and you can't build a relationship with hundreds of millions of people. And I started to really look at the things that they're doing with the discussion forums and the things that they're trying to do. And I thought, you know, that's actually pretty valid. Not that they couldn't blog, or not that they couldn't do a lot of these different things, but when you think about, you know, if they had equivalent of a Frank Eliason from Comcast responding to people by Twitter, I mean, you'd have to have 1,000 Frank Eliassons doing tweets every 8 seconds to be able to try to address all the stuff that's going on.
Well, you know, listen, Apple doesn't need to engage in social media, and it's not part of it is because they have a great product. But they don't need to engage in social media because they're still engaging socially. I mean, the fact is,
through their brand,
is not a better customer experience than going to the Genius Bar at an Apple store.
Right.
There is not a better customer experience than calling customer support at Apple. You talk to real human beings. You talk to people that seem to know what the hell they're doing. And, you know, so I don't necessarily, I believe that Apple truly understands the fundamentals of being social, is they're doing it one-on-one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're doing
that's
it
what made them great. And they haven't always been the biggest company in the world. They get to this point in time because they've done it one customer at a time. So, I just don't think every company needs to be rabidly involved in social media. I just don't believe that. I think that there are companies that should, that there are companies that would benefit from it. But I also know that there are companies that are still doing it on a fairly small scale. They don't need to be broadcasting on Twitter.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So and
then there are companies trying to scale it like Best Buy with TwelpForce. I mean, they're trying to, they're trying to answer everybody's questions somehow. I don't know how they're doing at that, but they have a lot of people devoted to it, I guess, now.
Yeah, I mean, they do. But was that also a sort of an outgrowth of bad customer service experience up until that point? I don't know. I'm just asking.
I think they're just trying to try.
I haven't always gotten the best customer service when I go to a Best Buy store. But then again, my expectations are not to be, not necessarily to run into the genius that knows everything at the Best Buy store. I don't expect that. So,
right. Yeah.
But anyway, also yesterday at the Unsummit, it was probably the first session I sat in any conference. I'm sure it won't be the last, really go into, Foursquare. Christopher Lauer did that presentation.
Oh yeah. That was good.
And I thought it was good. I mean, I know Foursquare will be picked apart, quite a bit, you know, moving forward. But I think Chris did a good job of getting that. I would like to have seen all the sessions at Unsummit yesterday be a little bit more unconferencey, a little bit more. A lot of them were too presentational and not enough conversational. But I think they were all great sessions. I really enjoyed the ones that research, social media research was interesting. Andrew's session was interesting. I thought that Chris's session was good. I would have liked to have sat in on your session with Don and those folks, Steve, but you get sidetracked on all those things.
Yeah. Well, you can't, when there's four tracks, you can
only
be
one. Tracks,
you can only be one at a time. Yeah.
But they did a great job at trying to get as much video as possible. I know that I shot a video for them, and we just, a lot of folks were being asked to bring out the flip cameras and help out. So they're posting a lot of video for these sessions. So look for a lot of that at unsummit.org.
How many people did they get?
Good question.
I would say there were
a couple hundred or not that many.
In and out of there, maybe a couple hundred yesterday.
That's a
smaller number. Size than past unsummits, but I think this is the first time they've done one in the summer. They lucked out and got a decent morning yesterday because it was kind of rainy and drizzly looking. Right. So,
Then one downside, the only downside for me was walking back to the TPT part, the parking ramp over by TPT, and unable to find my car. I go down to the parking level and walk out, and then, nope, this isn't it. Turn around, the door's locked. So I don't. And then stairwell doors, I had to walk all the way up like four levels to get back up to my where I. Oh yeah, that's where I parked it. It's like, God, what a dork.
I think that's telling you something, Steve. You need to hit the
ball. Yeah, I know.
Well, it's funny. I was doing that at the event I was at. The guy that gave me a ride at the end of the first day forgot which level he parked his car on. So we both got the tour of all the levels at the UCSF Mission Bay Conference Center.
Oh, you know? Like a Seinfeld episode for you.
It does.
What happens is people are in such a rush to get to an event, they forget to pay attention to where they parked, you know?
Well, I tell you, I did that once at the airport, and that was the last time I didn't grab one of those little flyers. Going to the elevator.
Oh, no kidding. At the airport is really bad because there's so damn many cars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other events, Steve.
Well, Minnesota Cup.
We finalists. Yeah.
You and I went to the Minnesota Cup semifinal event, and it was surprisingly interesting. And I did do a post about it on Minnovate about the kickoff. Put a picture of James J. Hill in there. But it was interesting because I also,
you're always looking for just one more excuse to put up an old photo. I know that.
There you go. Yeah. I love that stuff.
I know you do.
But, it was interesting because I read some articles about the Hill Library and how they're actually struggling for relevancy right now and trying to get, people to really know that it's even there. And they've got one of the top business libraries in the country, but they also have an unbelievably awesome website, and I should put a link to that. So if you're an entrepreneur or a startup, or if you just simply want really informed access to some great business data as you're building your plan, for instance, you got to use this resource because it's phenomenal. But the event itself, I was really impressed. I mean, there must have been, 125 to 150 people there roughly, and people from the U, people from the state. Obviously, all the semifinalists, there were investors there. There were also people that I met who were looking to see who was there to think about potentially investing. And so they were asking questions of people, including I got asked a couple by one investor about what I thought about a certain technology. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I hadn't seen that before.
Oh, yeah. Well, Scott and Dan, who are the main guys behind that, they definitely are plugged into the local angel community. And I'm glad to hear that they're getting more of those folks to come out to that event.
But the rub
with that event, and I know the final reception is coming up when they'll name the five finalists and pick the winner. I think that's in September. But of course, the rub with that whole thing is you get these 1,100 companies that enter, and it's like, what happens after that? But hopefully, the more the angels that come out and start getting interested in these companies, more of the 1,100 can find some sugar daddies that'll roll a little dough in to get them moving along.
Didn't Dan point out that last year's winner has raised $8 million?
Oh, yeah, of course. The top winner. Yeah, well, then they got $5 million of it from Split Rock, and that was Alvenda. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's been some funding that have come out of the winners and or the top five. But, you know, it's the 1,100 or whatever it is that other ones that don't get selected that feel, I think, you know, and then this is nothing new. I mean, it's been, although every year, you know, the number of entries has been going up, 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 up.
Yep.
But it's where do all the other ones go and what's going to help, you know, fill the gap for them or, you know, but the, you know, in general, the angel community has been coming on pretty well here over the last few years, kind of making up that gap of venture funding that hasn't been taking place. You know, and the big winners like Alvenda last year are the rare exception of getting $5 million in venture funding for internet IT firms anyway, med tech firms. You know, they've had a bunch of them too that have gotten funding that have come out of the Minnesota Cup thing, but that's different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not talking about med tech here. So but yeah, that event I've been to it once before at the James J. Hill Library, and it's a great venue and they do a real good job with that event. And I always make it to the final you know, reception, which they do at the McNamara Center at the U.
Right.
And they get 700 or 800 people coming out for that.
Well, we'll have an opportunity. Scott ping me on doing interviews and so forth ahead of time before the final. So
good.
We've got some nice opportunity there. So that'll be kind of fun to pull together. Well, coming up this. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, were there 30 semifinalists named or did they go bigger this year?
You know what? I didn't count. Did you, Phil?
No, I'm sorry. I did not.
I think it's 30, but that's what it's always been in the past.
It's five in each category.
So. No, there's actually more this year. So there's just in the clean tech alone, there's nine.
There looks to be
roughly that in every category except social entrepreneur. There's four.
Oh, okay.
So 2, 4, 6, 8. There's 10, yeah, ten in general. Looks like eight or nine in students. So, I mean, there's, it says right here, 48 plus four from the
they did go more this year
social
then. That's
entrepreneur
good.
Division. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Note to self, always look at the metadata. Okay. All right. Well, hey, let's just to kind of end with our kind of main section here on the gang mentality. I know that I had thought we could maybe talk about the new iPhone. Will you let me finish? You are so mean to me. You're just mean. You're nice when you and I are together and stuff, but you're mean to me. Well, we were going to talk about probably one of the biggest stories that has people buzzing about it in a lot of different ways. And it is what, Phil?
How to hold your iPhone.
No. Come on.
The Hitler video was just
That was good.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. That's great.
Oh, though. Go find it. It's just a
riot. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's hilarious.
Oh, I love that. I love that series.
Yeah. Come on, Phil.
What's the biggest one?
It's the ICANN, the Internet Corporation for assigned names
and
numbers.
I'm sorry. You said iPhone.
No. Well, I was giving you a bad time. But it's the big story is the triple X dot. Yeah, the top level domain, XXX. And,
okay, so the first thing I think of is opportunity. Now, come on. So if I go and I register remaincom.xxx.
Yeah.
Nothing says I have to have adult content, right?
Well, there's that.
I mean, because imagine typing that into a search engine now, all of a sudden you're going to be inundated with every site known to man at XXX, right? I mean, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you're taking a look at, you could have maybe the wrong people, but your traffic could go up substantially.
Well,
Even though you don't have adult content,
if you were one of the first ones in, but that'll get old quick. Well, here's what I thought was interesting. Do you remember, and I don't remember what year it was. I'll see if I can find it. But it sort of surprised me that the Bush administration, sometime in the mid-2000s, They objected to the use of a XXX domain. Mm-hmm. And they because they were concerned that it would create this virtual red light district on the web, and that it was a free speech thing, which just surprised me, because I thought, wait a minute, aren't they conservative Christians and they want to really make this all happen?
Want to segment it? Yeah.
Yeah. I was sort of surprised and confused about the whole thing. The big concern that I see from internet pundits and people that are really looking at it, I don't know what you think, Phil, but it's all about how simple it would be to exclude .XXX. And if everybody jumps on the bandwagon, all the browser companies, which they wouldn't do, it would be really easy to exclude that entire TLD, that top level domain. And what does that mean for the future of free speech, for instance?
Well, I mean, it opens a can of worms. There's no doubt about it. Anytime you can hang a label on something, you open that up.
Yeah. You think that's a problem?
I don't know if it's a problem. I think the XXX is a natural extension of what the adult industry is going to do online. I think it's a very natural extension. I don't know. Will it be good or bad? I don't know. But then again, the jury is still out. Is the presence of so much porn good or bad on the internet? So, I think it's an interesting story. I don't know if it's earth shattering.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It just seems to me that anybody that has anything to do with the internet, especially parents, already has the XXX stigma on all of those sites. So, I mean, they're already labeled that in the mind. Why not just label them that way on the web?
Well,
other than the segmentation.
I know, but you know what? I mean, I had filtering software on a PC that we had. Mm-hmm. Didn't work very well. Then I put, I bought, I can't remember the name, it was NetNanny or some software for the Mac. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. And then Apple built parental controls into Mac OS X. Mm-hmm. And that actually is pretty doggone effective, but it's not as effective as it should be. Because stuff still gets by.
Because you spent hours cracking it. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for those of us with hormone-laden 15-year-old boys...
Yes,
and their buddies over at the house and Wi-Fi in the house and yada yada, you bet I've got parental control set.
You're damn straight.
But
lots of them.
But so I got to tell you, you know, from a parent perspective, having a .XXX, I mean, they could build that into the router. You could just flip a switch and boom, it's done, right? And make life so simple. But as we all know, you can do an end run around stuff in a nanosecond. I mean, how hard would it be to just go ahead and put something else out on a .uk.com or .co site, you know, or whatever, and just host your servers elsewhere. That's why it's not going to work, because the internet routes around that stuff.
So you don't like my idea of, you know, minivate.xxx?
You go ahead and you buy that, Phil. Of course, now somebody is listening and they'll do it and they'll slap up stuff and go, oh, look at these Minivate guys are doing.
Oh, God. Did you have to put that idea out there?
I know. I'm sorry. Don't do it, anyone. I suppose I have to go buy it now. God.
Yeah. See, now you've done it. Now you've opened up a can of worms.
Yeah. Haven't you? But yeah. Well, and this gets into, the domain. Who's going to be registering those domains? They're going to love it because everybody's going to be buying them for defensive reasons,
right,
you know,
right.
Intel.xxx,
yep.
You know,
yep.
IBM.xxx, you know, think how many they're going to sell. It's a great gig for somebody.
Yeah.
Who did ICANN give that to?
In terms of, probably all the registrars will have access to it.
ICM registry, is it?
Is that the only one?
Phil's already researched this.
Well, I was looking at the article yesterday because, I mean, it's an interesting concept. I still remember the days when XXX meant moonshine. So,
and it was in cartoons.
It was in cartoons.
That's right. That's right. Oh my God, Disney! That was that was Disney. Oh,
yeah. That was the symbol for hooch.
All right. So you know what? Let's put that triple X to bed. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Ah, thank you. Good night, everybody. So
I just have to say something publicly about my new iPhone. And I know you guys will just like, okay, Phil, go ahead. Groan. Go ahead.
You're going to get married? Is that what the plan is?
You know what? This is everything I've always wanted in a smartphone. And the biggest thing for me is I think about all the times that I have my digital SLR sitting here at home and my lenses and so forth, and how I'd really wish, oh God, I'd love to have it to grab that shot. And I started to do that with the iPhone, and I started to shoot video with the iPhone 3GS, and it just was so horrible. It just looked so bad that I just said, I'm just not doing that. And I kind of stopped using it just because I was so upset with the quality. And the high def video, even though it's 720p, it is 30 frames a second. And the quality of the photos, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to be able to cluster apps in little folders, instead of 12 screens now, I have two for all my apps. So that's a bonus.
You're kidding. I wasn't aware of that. How does that work?
Well, you literally...
You guys go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
Well, just real quick.
You can put all your apps on two screens?
Well, so you can create folders. You can have up to 12 apps in a folder. Okay. So for instance, I have a news folder. And so I drag WCCO on top of CNN, and it creates a folder, and it automatically said it's news. So, that's cool. And then I dragged NPR News in and New York Times and all that into that folder. And so now all my news icons, the ones that I use all the time, are in one folder. And that's sitting on my home screen, my number one screen.
Cool.
And so rather than having its own screen, which is what I had before, they're now sitting inside a folder. Just touch.
Can't we do this in iOS 4 though on the 3GS phone too, or not?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that far.
Oh, you got to do it. You got to do it. It's awesome.
Days ago, and yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and you know what's interesting, and Steve Graham, you being out of town probably didn't know this, but Steve and I had been going back and forth about my consideration of switching off from the Evo to an iPhone. There's been some issues with the Evo as far as locking up and things like that. Nothing major, no big deals, but it just got me to thinking about it because I'm in that 30-day window. And you know what it came down to for me is I just kind of realized this last night. It's like, yeah, I think if we were looking at this as a device alone, then the iPhone is such a natural choice. But then I thought, wait a second, I use this as a phone. And quite frankly, the service isn't good. So it seems to me that as a phone, I'm probably going to stick where I'm at right now and just wait for things to try to stretch out. But what a great, the iPhone 4 is an incredible piece of equipment. It really is. It's just a beautiful camera, phone, screen. It is really a beautiful thing to see.
Well, people talk about the AT&T service being bad, but I really don't have a problem in the Twin Cities. I rarely have problems with it. So I'm not one that is putting down AT&T all the time. But in some cities, I guess it is bad, or maybe in some parts of Minnesota, it's bad. But I really, don't have that much of a problem, and I'm going to stay grandfathered in with the unlimited data. And yep. I was told that, Steve, that when I sign up for, and by the way, I've got my iPhone 4 on order because I found out I could upgrade, at the upgrade price, I could do it. I guess you can select $15 a month tethering when you sign up, but you can't go back later and do it. It's like you get one chance to do that.
Oh, I did not know
that. My friend Gary Doan didn't do it, and he tried to go back and say, you know what? I do want that $15 a month tethering. And it's like they said, nope, can't do it. You're only given that option when you upgrade.
I was not given that option when I upgraded. Interesting.
You're kidding.
No.
Weird.
Well, that's bad because now if I went on and chose one of the other tethering options, my unlimited goes away and I revert back to whatever I've signed up for.
Okay, so this is a tip for those that might be upgrading. And we were in the Apple store discussing this because I don't know if you heard, but Gary Doan accidentally reserved two phones, one through AT&T and one through Apple. So he was going to let me get the Apple one because he AT&T shipped him one a day in advance.
Yeah, my daughter got hers a day in advance.
Yeah. And so he said, well, yeah, well, then why don't I give you or let you have the one that I have reserved at Southdale. So what, you know what we forgot, though? I flew back on the red eye Thursday night, the 24th. So I wasn't even back in town till the morning of the 25th. So we waltz into the Southdale Apple store in the afternoon and I'm half gone, away. You know, from. And the guy says, guess what? The ones who were on hold at the end of the day on Thursday night, we let go to anybody who was on the waiting list that wanted them Friday morning. So I didn't get my iPhone 4 yesterday, but I went, but this is where we discussed that tethering thing. And the guy we were talking to verified that, you can get it for $15 a month if you're upgrading, grandfathered in with the old data plan. So,
Well, you know, what's interesting too, is I bought two, one for my wife, and one for I, and my daughter Biz, by the way, who works at the Uptown store, she got hers shipped and it showed up the day before. And so she, set it all up and got it all running and so forth. And then had to work that night to set up the store for the iPhone launch. And she said, everybody in the store, they'd never seen one up. You know, I actually held it. So she's like, everybody goes, let me see your phone. Let me see your phone.
Yeah. The stores didn't have them until Thursday, I guess. And they quickly ran out, and the few that weren't picked up, like this one I was supposed to get, you know, immediately they had people show up Friday morning, first thing,
right.
Probably waiting in line to get these leftovers that weren't claimed, you know?
Well, we got my wife one, and AT&T and Apple worked out that it would not be activated, that it would be on the account, but it wouldn't be activated until she returned from her trip, because she'd left. I dropped her off at the airport and then at 5:30 in the morning and then went right over to the Apple store, got in line. And she gets off the plane, calls the office from a payphone. It has no service. And apparently it killed the SIM card in her 3G. Anyway, I had to scramble around. I found an AT&T store 2 miles from her hotel. She cabbed over there, and it took her about 45 minutes to an hour to do the whole thing and drive over. But they took care of her. She said the guy down at AT&T was awesome, set her all up. And
was she in the U.S.? She had to have been in the U.S. Dallas. Wasn't over in Europe,
No,
right?
She was down in Dallas.
Oh, okay, yeah.
At a trade show.
Yeah. Sure,
she was speaking at. But anyway, well, I think we should wrap it up, gentlemen.
Probably a good idea.
And we'll just have to think about Tim. A moment of silence.
A moment of silence.
A moment of silence.
All right.
And his power problems. But hey, Steve, I wanted to throw in one more thing. Our friends at W3i up in St. Cloud have a big announcement coming in the morning relating to iPhone apps and app distribution service.
I know they've been working on that. It's very cool.
Okay, and good. I would encourage everybody to go to W3i.com and check it out in the morning. It's going to break at 9 a.m. Central. And we should have some nice coverage from the tech sites and blogs. So big deal
for them. Good for them. Yeah, that's great.
It's really a neat deal. W3i Mobile is sort of the umbrella name, and there's a consumer site involved, and it's basically a way for consumers to get paid for downloading and installing apps that match their needs. And it's a great way for developers to basically increase the distribution of their apps. It's really an advertising service for them. It's pretty neat. So
That's great. Oh, by the way, I also wanted to mention that it wasn't until this morning, I don't know why, from the podcast that I couldn't be on June 12th, with Tim as the ringleader,
the first one you've missed ever.
Yeah, ever. I just noticed this morning that it's my face on Where's Waldo.
Oh, you didn't see that?
I didn't even see. I mean, I don't. I looked at that picture like 50 times, and I just this morning saw that it was my face. That was great.
That was the whole point of.
I know. And it was good, Phil. That was good.
much. I do what
I thought
I can.
You were going to say that it had more listeners than any other one ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, exactly. That freaking Borscht is off of there. Yeah, it's a good show now.
It was a pretty good one, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I listened to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, they're all good. They're getting better every time, you know?
Yep. Yep. If we do say so ourselves.
We have an occasional dog, but generally they're getting better.
All right. Hey, you guys have a good weekend. Get out at least now for a while because the storm clouds are coming back in.
Yeah. Got to move that lawn before they do come.
All right.
Great. Sounds good, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
You too, take guys.
Care. Bye now.
Thank you.